When I'm hungry, he feeds me.
Amen. When I'm thirsty, he's my water. That's spiritual water. I thank God for that. What would I do without Jesus? Don't want to know. Don't want to find out. Been there, done that. Amen. I'm so glad that I have Jesus Christ in my life. If you love the Lord tonight, just give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hope you have your Bibles with you tonight. We're going to be referring to some scripture. In fact, several scriptures tonight. I want to bring a thought, if I might. I just pray in and asking the Lord. And it seems like in my time of ministry and in seemingly more recently, I guess, than the earlier parts of my ministry, that a lot of folks are dealing with issues and problems. And basically, I think it all comes to the fact that sometimes we're having difficulty abiding in deliverance. And there's several scriptures in the Bible, in fact, more than I can even number, and I've written down a few, that addresses the fact that we are delivered. How many is glad we've been set free? Amen. Thank God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And deliverance is not only applicable just to people who've been addicted. It does apply. It's not just people who had substance abuse, although it does apply to that. But it's also deliverance, amen, from a sinful nature that we lived in. And I think that sometimes Satan, the adversary, uses this, amen, he uses our memory to bring on guilt, to bring shame, and all of these things against us. And I think sometimes it causes us, I say us, born-again children of God, sometimes not to really get the victory that we need to live. We need to be exercising the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song tonight was Victory in Jesus. Amen. And what would I do without Jesus? So we need to learn to depend on him and also realize and know that we've been delivered. If you've been delivered and you know it, amen, give the Lord praise tonight. Aren't you glad that we've been delivered? So if I had a thought tonight, and tonight I'm going to do it in the format of a Bible study. You never know with me. Sometimes I say Bible study and I end up doing all the preaching. But I want to start it with a format of a Bible study tonight. I'm going to talk about what it means. First of all, deliverance is the act of being set free. Deliver means to set free. So deliverance is the act of setting free. I want us to turn, first of all, to St. John chapter 8. And verse 36. And bear with me just a little bit. In fact, I'll probably ask some of y'all if you have your Bibles to maybe reference some of these scriptures and read them if you would. But I want to take our message text tonight from St. John chapter 8 and verse number 36. If you're there, say the praise the Lord. John's writing here, Jesus, the words of Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's right. Read that with me one more time. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. God, for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, for that we feel here tonight. God, for the liberty, the victory, and the deliverance, God, that you've placed within our lives. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray tonight your will. We pray, God, that you would sanction our words tonight. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, just to speak that you would put upon our hearts. Pray, God, that it'll be growth and edifying to each and every saint of God's here tonight. Father, I pray that as we read these scriptures, you will enlighten us, God, on how to live a delivered life. How to be thankful, God, from the sin nature that you've set us free from. Father, I pray for those who are in need of prayer tonight. There are many are sick, many are afflicted, and we pray, God, your healing power for them. Those who are traveling, I pray, God, that you would keep them safe. Now, just help us to be in one mind and one accord tonight. God, as we deliver your word, as we receive your word, let it be deep in our hearts and in our mind, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, abiding in deliverance. Abiding means operating, living, dwelling in deliverance. I believe that the children of God have certainly been delivered. We can all have a testimony of how God delivered us from. Some folks, you know, maybe they wasn't into as many things as others, but they still needed to be delivered. Man, I believe with all of my heart that when we reach that age of accountability, whatever that age may be, between you and God and knowing right from wrong, we know that because of a carnal body and a carnal life that we're living in a world of sin. We need to be delivered from that mindset. We need to be delivered from those things that the earth or the carnal body tends to draw toward the earth. So we need to be more spiritually minded, and several scriptures in the Bible allude to that fact on being delivered. Now, probably each and every one of us can tell you the time and place where the Lord saved us, where we were delivered. Amen. But and many of us, amen, can almost tell you exactly who was praying for us the very night that we got delivered. But I want us to understand the feeling that we received the night or the day, whatever the hour was, that Jesus Christ came into our life, that never weakens, by the way. Amen. How many knows that the power of God is still just as real today as it ever was? The Spirit of the Holy Ghost that came into our lives that night as we repented of our sin, asked Jesus to forgive us and come in and dwell within our lives, He's still just as real, still just as powerful as He ever was. But so many times with things that are happening in the world, things that are going on, problems, situations, stress, trials, persecutions, whatever the fact may be, sometimes it tends to cause us not to understand or not to really live in the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so many times we don't realize what we are or how we have been delivered and how we can live in true deliverance. Amen. And living in true deliverance is forgetting those things which are behind. Come on. Amen. And pressing toward that mark. Amen. Looking forward. So if you have your Bibles tonight, and maybe we'll just take it from a volunteer basis, I'd like for somebody to read us some scripture on how that we have been free from bondage. Now, let's talk about the children of Israel. Now, do you imagine that when Moses was able to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, do you imagine there was joy in the camp? Can we just kind of agree that there was excitement in the camp after 400 years of bondage, after not being able to do or say or be anywhere they wanted to? They had to do what the taskmasters had them to do. But can you imagine the joy that set upon them as they marched out of Egypt toward that Canaan land? But not too long into the wilderness journey, many of them began to want to dwell and go back to Egypt, amen, again under bondage. And Satan has all of these things. When he comes at you after you've been born again, after you're walking for the Lord, he begins to tell you all these things you're missing out on, what you can't be involved in and what you can't do and what the rest of the world is doing. And many, many times it's a very productive weapon that he uses against us. But how many knows that we have been freed from bondage, spiritual bondage, the bondage of sin, because of the blood of Jesus Christ? So somebody find for me in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5 and verse number 1, as we read about being free from bondage. Can I ask you tonight, in your own words, stand fast. Now, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to you? Stand fast in the liberty and don't be entangled again. All right, stand firm. Stand, you know, when you're standing firm, you're standing on a solid ground. Solid ground is a solid Word of God. How many knows that we've got the Word of God to back up, amen, that we have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Regardless of what Satan comes and tries to tell us, tries to pull us back to the old ways, try to get our mind all upset, and today, the day and hour that we're living in, it seems like Satan, the adversary, is attacking the mind more than he's attacking the body. So we need to stand firm, amen, stand fast, amen, have faith to believe that God has delivered us and walk and operate in deliverance. In other words, if we used a natural analysis, it would be somebody who has been set free from a prison And the whole time they're looking over their shoulder, wondering if they're going to have to be all apprehended and taken back when they've already served their time. They've already been set free. They've already been pardoned. Thank God that we've been pardoned. Amen. But so many times I think that a lot of people who are born again are kind of walking around, kind of looking over their shoulders, wondering what Satan's going to do next. We need to understand how to live and operate and abide in deliverance. Thank God we've been delivered. Not because of anything we did, amen. It wasn't because of what we did. It was all because of what Jesus did. All right? And not only are we free from bondage, but I love this, preserved from trouble. Not completely free from trouble, but preserved for trouble. Somebody find for me in the Psalms, the 32nd Psalm, verse number 7. Psalms 32 and 7. As we often say, words mean something. And these words, amen, if we'll take them to heart and be submissive and obedient to the Word of God, we can find encouragement in the Scriptures. Psalms 32 and 7. Anybody? How many preserve makers have we got? Anybody ever made preserves? Anybody ever eat preserves? Amen. There's a lasting effect to preserves. It comes from the word preservative. Amen. So when you make those preserves, you have to do the canning part right, don't you? You seal them. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that. When they're good. Amen. They're good from now on when you put that seal upon them. They've been preserved. And the Lord is telling us here through the Scriptures that not only we're free from bondage, but we can be preserved from trouble. Yes. Maybe not trouble-free, but we're preserved from those troubles. It's time that the church realized that we have a shepherd, a good shepherd, that's going to take care of us through whatever troubles, whatever trials that we may incur. We're preserved for those things. Amen? Because we've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. We've been sealed to the day that the Lord comes and takes us home. So if you're having troubles, don't get all upset and think that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you, because you have been preserved from trouble. I want you to also look at Psalms 34 and 4. The word delivered from fear. If we are living from fear, it is not the fault of God. God has delivered His people from fear. Whatever fear that is. Then they have names for all of these phobias. You know, people have fear of heights. They have fear of this. They have fear of that. Fear of crowds or whatever. But you know that the church, I don't believe that we need to get caught up in all of this fear, because a lot of fear, amen, is birthed in the mind. It's birthed in the mind, and it's caused from a lot of things around us. You know, things that we hear, things that we see, things that we read, and sometimes all of that trouble and all of that turmoil breeds fear. But you know, if we got faith in God, what have we got to fear? Amen? Who can stand against the power of God? Amen? And the power that God has given within us. You know, fear is something that causes us so many times, fear breeds doubt. And then doubt sometimes breeds disobedience, and then disobedience can even lead into sin. So fear is detrimental, especially to the church, especially to the body of Christ. So somebody read for me Psalms 34 and 4.
I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
All my fears. But I sought the Lord. We can't do it within ourselves. You've heard people say, well, I've tried everything I know to do. Have you tried seeking God? Really seeking God for the fear that is within you, whatever that fear is. You know, a lot of born-again saints of God still fear that God doesn't love them, still fear that they've messed up, still fear that God, you know, and Satan's good at telling you this. Well, God didn't really forgive you of that. Yes, he did. That's what the Word says. Amen. Aren't you glad that God is a forgiving God? Aren't you glad that He's full of grace and full of mercy? But those are things that the devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to understand the forgiving power of God. And he certainly doesn't want you to understand what deliverance is. And as this week, as I was thinking about that, I began to say, Lord, thank you for deliverance. Thank you that I can live and operate in deliverance. I'm so glad that I'm not bound anymore. I'm so glad that I'm not in that thing where that had me wrapped up in the chains of sin and the bondage of all of those things that were around me. And I say it this way because it doesn't necessarily, maybe you've never been addicted to anything. Maybe you've never had a substance abuse, but you've been entangled in other things. And those are just as real. Those are just as burdensome as some of the things that other people are trying to be delivered from. But if you have not gotten victory over those things through the power of God, you're not able to fully abide in deliverance. Now, when we understand and realize what deliverance is, amen, we can come into the house of God with our hands raised high, glorifying and praising God, regardless of what kind of day we've had. Regardless of the problems or the issues, because we know, as children of God, we've been delivered. Amen. Praise God. Again, Psalms 34 and 17. I sought God, and He hears my cries. Lord, I'm so glad that He hears my cries. I'm so glad that God is listening. Because, you know, so many times I've heard people say, well, I don't want to bother God with that. That's what He wants us to do. Amen. Bring me every burden. Bring me every care. Who's got 34 and 17? Psalms 34, 17. Okay, that's good. That's good. Amen. I love stereo. That's good. Let's read it one more time for our hearing. Wow. All their troubles, all their fears. You know, we have access to God. Aren't you thankful? Yeah. Amen. That, you know, many folks, I think, forget the fact that when Jesus Christ was crucified and after He gave up the ghost, there was something miraculous happened in the temple. Something that we shouldn't just take as just an ordinary event. Right. But the veil, you remember the veil, the partition that kept folks out? And the priest on the inside, and you could only get to God through the priest. Amen. God said, oh, no more. No more. Amen. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to give you access. And He tore the veil from top to bottom. Why from top to bottom? So everybody knew it wasn't man that did it. God did it. Amen. And He said, come on in. Amen. To the throne of grace. We have access to God who hears our cries. Not only does He hear our cries, but He delivers us out of all of our troubles. Amen. Why do we even doubt? Why do we even fear? Because we got a God, amen, that has not only delivered us, amen, amen, but is able to keep us delivered. Praise God. Amen. I think the Lord deserves a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. Oh, and I love this one too. Let's go back to the book of Psalms 107 and verse number 6. This is what we need to understand as a church, as born again believers. Woo, distresses. You know, we've kind of come to the point of believing that God answers our prayer. Most church members do. I believe that. We understand that if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and God will deliver. We understand that. We understand that He's an on-time God. We understand that God answers prayer not only in our time, but in His time. Right. But so many times, I think that we fail to give God an opportunity when we're so distressed. Because we think that's something that we have probably brought on ourselves, so therefore we just need to carry it. It's kind of my burden, and I've had it for many, many years, and I'm just going to continue to try to do the best I can under these circumstances. Let me tell you something. Life can get you stressed out. You can have so many distresses and still be on fire Christian. You can still be singing in the choir. You can still be worshiping and praising the Lord. But the whole time Satan is bringing such distress in your mind, worry. Come on, worry. You know, thinking the worst is going to happen. And let me tell you something. He can get so into your head and into your spirit that it's very difficult for you to even really get deliverance in a church service. Amen. But we got to understand here that God will not only deliver us from our troubles and not only deliver us from our fear, but He'll also deliver us, and I love that word, set you free. We use the word deliver a lot, but He will set you free of your distresses. Amen. We don't need to sit and worry about all of these things. I read a little book one time. It's a real, real small book, real thin book. You know what it said? Don't sweat the small stuff. Sometimes we worry ourselves to death about little bitty things that we got no control over whatsoever. Amen. And you know, you might say, well, that's not a hindrance. Yes, it can be a hindrance. Amen. We need to know what the Word of the Lord says. And I just wrote a few scriptures here. There's so many more scriptures in the Bible that points to the fact that God will deliver us. And when He delivers us, He expects us to stay preserved and stay delivered. Amen. Glory to God. Not where you have to come every Sunday just to get delivered. Amen. It's a good place to get delivered, but it needs to be that kind that sticks to us. Amen. We stay delivered. All right. I'm trying not to preach. What is that statistic? 85%. That's amazing. So many times that's the case. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've been guilty of worrying and things, you know, and then, you know, praying but still worrying. And you know what? Shame on me. I'm being honest and confessing, praying, Lord, take care of this, but still worried about it. And then when that time comes and you face that situation, whatever that is, and it works out so smooth, and you beat yourself up, well, why in the world was I worrying about that? You know, because God had it under control. You mentioned the chess game. We're trying to figure out our next move. He's three games ahead of us. He's already knows what He's going to do. So we do. We do worry about a lot of things that never come to pass. Amen? And then, you know, sometimes we get, you know, this is what gets me. I've heard people say this. Well, I don't know. I've been doing so good for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just afraid of what's about to happen. Where is that faith? I mean, it's almost like Satan hadn't been bothering me for 2 or 3 weeks, but I bet he's getting up a boatload to come at me now. Amen. All you did is prophesy yourself problems and troubles. You know, just thank God for every day that he gives us, every day that the Lord makes a way, whether it's been a problem or not. But worry is anti-faith, I believe, so many times. You can be concerned, okay? There's a big difference in being concerned. You can be concerned about situations in your life, be concerned about other folks, but worry leads to stress, and stress leads to anxiety and all of these other things. And first thing you know, your nerves are shot. So God will deliver us from distress. And I love this. I have used this message text many, many times. Isaiah chapter number 43. Verse 18 and 19, Isaiah chapter number 43, verses 18, 19. Whenever you get it, anybody. Love that. Making a way. Even in the wilderness and in the desert, God will make a way. When it doesn't look like it's possible. You know, river in a desert? Come on now. Why would God use that analysis, the Word of God? A river in a desert. Because to us it's impossible. You don't see rivers in desert. But God said, no, I'll make one. I'll put one there. He put a dining room table, didn't he? Yeah. Amen. He brought quail and let them march right into the camp. He let manna come down. We forget sometimes how God sustained the children of Israel for 40 years. Amen. So many times we forget. But God will make a way in a wilderness. He'll put a river in your desert. Amen. In your driest time, when you can't see, amen, any kind of hope, or you can't realize, you just pray and release it to God. Next thing you know, there's a river flowing right through your desert. A spiritual river. Amen. A river of joy. A river of hope. A river of deliverance. Praise God. God will do that for us because He loves us so very much. Amen. And then we must have faith to overcome. Okay? It's going to be very, very difficult to overcome situations in our life without the ingredient of faith. Faith, what? Is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If we could see it, it wouldn't be called faith. Amen? We don't always see what God's doing. But if we can see that God will do it, that's the faith. And He's going to work it out the way He wants to anyway. So He doesn't need our input. He doesn't need our opinion. But He does need our faith. Amen. Somebody find for me 1 John 5, 4 and 5. 1 John chapter number 5, verses 4 and 5. Remember what we're talking about now. Not only deliverance, but abiding in deliverance. Continuing to operate in deliverance. Going on after we've been delivered. Why is it important to overcome the world? We're not of this world. That's right. Amen. You know, the body is, the flesh is, the carnal part, but the spirit, amen, must have subjection over the flesh. We cannot let our flesh constantly dictate to the spirit. Don't care how strong you are. If you're constantly dictating the flesh to your, over your spirit, you're going to be drawn more to earthly things, more to carnal things, more to satisfy the flesh. But if you feed that spirit, and that spirit is stronger than that flesh may be going through all kind of turmoil, but that spirit is doing leapfrogs. Amen? It's happy. It's rejoicing in the fact that God is faithful, and we will overcome. You may be in the process of overcoming, but have that mindset. We will overcome whatever the battle, whatever the situation, even if it's a desert, even if it's a wilderness. God brought them through the wilderness, put a river in the desert. Amen. Faith to overcome. All right. There's some things that we must do. There's three words, and you're going to remember this. Sober, vigilant, steadfast. They're kind of synonyms, similar, but they all point to one thing, again, to faith. So it means sober, vigilant, and steadfast. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 8 and 9. I'll read it. I've got it right here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary... Now, listen... We say words mean something. When he said adversary, he was very explicit who our adversary is. Your adversary is not your brother and sister in Christ. Your adversary is not that aggravating neighbor that lives down the road from you. Our adversary is the devil. Our adversary is Satan. He might use that person. Come on. He'll use different folks and different vehicles, but our adversary is the devil. So it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Isn't it kind of ironic that he doesn't say as a biting lion? We know so many times Satan roars but can't harm us. He'll roar to try to scare us. Roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we need to be sober, vigilant, and steadfast. Again, sober meaning well balanced. Saints of God, we need to be well balanced. If we're not well balanced, we'll trip easy. If you're toting 5 gallons of water over here like that. You need 5 gallons of water over here to stay balanced. You need to stay balanced in our walk with the Lord. And the best way to stay balanced is to stay in tune with God. So be well balanced, cautious at all times. You know, we've often talked about defensive driving. When you're, has anybody in here ever took a course on defensive driving? You know, you need to watch the other people. How many knows that just because a blinker's flashing doesn't necessarily mean that person's going to turn? You have to anticipate. And when you anticipate, you allow yourself enough time, you allow yourself enough room to avoid that accident or whatever it is. We as saints of God, we need to be vigilant. We need to be well balanced. We need to be cautious because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to be facing. Amen. But be ready, because he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. Sober, vigilant, and steadfast. Those are the three very important words to understand and abide by that's in the Word of God. Now, I like this part. How many likes to know that we are mighty through God? Amen. You know, if you leave those last two words out, you're not very mighty. I'm not mighty in my strength. I'm not mighty in my ability. I'm not mighty in my intellect. I'm not mighty in my knowledge, but I am mighty through God. Amen? Because he is mighty in me. Somebody find for me 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 and 4. And we're getting close to the end of what I've got, but again, what is our theme tonight? Abiding in deliverance. The act of being set free.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
That's right.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
We read that, we get excited, but do we really comprehend that spiritually? That we are mighty through God. I'm not going to be Satan's punching bag. I refuse to be a victim. I'm an overcomer according to the Word of God. That's not praising me, by the way. That's praising my God that I am mighty through Him. Amen. Realizing the power that we have. Amen. And being able to speak that power against the adversary who comes against us. How? As a roaring lion. So we need to be able to understand that we are mighty through God. 2 Samuel chapter number 22, very interesting, verses 1 through 3. 2 Samuel, chapter number 22, and verses 1 through 3 when you get there. Man, that's a mouthful, ain't it? Isn't that a bunch of praise? Glory to God. Amen. Sounds like to me David had an experience. Glory to God. He saw that God delivered him. He knew that it was an impossibility, but God stepped in and delivered him. And my, what praise he gave unto him. And when we take those words and we apply them to our life, amen, and can live, he is my God. He is my refuge. He is my shield. Amen. Another place he said he's the lifter up of my head. These are encouraging things to know. Amen. Not only have we been delivered, but we can stay delivered. We can abide in deliverance. David realized that. All right. Now, so far we've talked about basically offense, or things that we're on the offense of. Okay? You know, mighty through God. He's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our river through the desert. And gives us our strength in the wilderness. But there's also some things defensively that we need to understand. And this is being a servant of righteousness. Righteousness meaning the right thing. Doing what is right. Letting God dictate to us rather than we dictate to God. Let us be submissive to His will in our life. Amen? And when we're submissive to His will, we'll understand what deliverance is all about. So somebody find for me Romans chapter number 6. And this is going to be about 4 verses, I believe, in Romans. Romans chapter number 6. And let's go. I'll read it. I've got it at 14 through 18. Follow along with me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, are of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God, being made free from sin, we became servants of righteousness. Amen. So basically he's telling us here, we're servants to whomever we obey. When we were in a sinful nature, we were servants unto sin. But thank God we've been delivered from sin. We are servants of righteousness, as servants of doing the will of God and what's right in the eyes of God. Not what's right in our eyes, but in what's right in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to end with three scriptures. First of all, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. This is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Love Ephesians. Let's begin in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he doesn't tell us that he's going to make the wiles of the devil cease, but he's giving us armor, amen, so the wiles of the devil won't penetrate, amen, they'll bounce off. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts. I love it when he says all. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. So we find that we can be strong in the Lord. That goes hand in hand. Amen. With God will deliver us from all of these other things. And we know that we can be strong in the Lord. Now, another requirement is Romans 8, 1 through 6. Romans 8, 1 through 6. And I think sometimes this, I just have to speak for myself. Sometimes this is what gives us our biggest problems, I guess. Or I don't know if there's worse problems or just conflict sometimes. Romans 8, let's begin verse 1 through verse number 6. Anybody want to read that, or you want me to read?
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Carnally minded is death, but
such a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. And today, what are all advertisements geared to? The flesh. Tantalizing, teasing, pleasing the flesh. That's what they're geared to. You know, but they, what does it say? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That tells me that sometimes it's not going to be necessarily appeasing to the flesh, but it will, and it will strengthen the Spirit. And that's what we need to do. We need to please the Spirit of God that is within us. If you really want to realize being deliverance, don't judge it by what your flesh goes through. Amen? Because, you know, Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. But that don't mean that we're not delivered. Amen. Our flesh, you know, our flesh is going to return to the dust of the earth from which it came. But the soul, the spirit, is going to be set free. So we need to understand that we need to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Operate in the Spirit in order to know that we can abide in deliverance. Finally, tonight, as a last ray of hope, let's go to Psalms 91. Again, I love the book of Psalms. It's very encouraging. Psalms 91. Pages are sticking together here. 91. Let's do verse 1 through 6. Two words. They're all great. Refuge and fortress. Aren't you thankful that we have a refuge and we have a fortress? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen. How encouraging is that, that God is our refuge and fortress. All of these wonderful scriptures point to the fact that we need to understand how to operate in deliverance. Not only just get delivered, amen, but continue to operate, continue to serve the Lord and walk by faith. Know that we are strong and mighty through God, amen. And if you have those issues and you have those problems, don't ever let it drag you down and think that you're worthless and think that you haven't been forgiven or think that God doesn't love you, because He does love you with a great and mighty love. Would you stand tonight? Amen. You know, the God that I serve is just as powerful on Wednesday night as He is on Sunday. He's still a healer. He's still a deliverer. Amen. He's still a great and mighty God. If you have a need tonight, please bring it forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, let's just entertain the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. If you have a need, come forward tonight and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God.